Let me say to Tabitha how much I enjoyed that, and certainly how much we've enjoyed the worship service. It's more than just singing. When we start singing to the Lord and we make that melody in our heart because we love Him, that's called worship. And God, the Bible teaches us, He inhibits the praises of His people. And I'm so glad that He does. If that gets in your way, whoever's playing, just throw it out of the way. Let me say, honored to be with you this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to be afforded this opportunity. Guys, there's still a lot of people that are not in the situation where we are, where we're able to meet together. And I thank God for that. I thank God for the fact that it is through the precious blood of Christ that if you've been saved, that's how you got saved, was through the blood that He shed on Calvary. I thought about 1 Timothy, I believe it is, the first chapter and the 15th verse, and Paul said this. He said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation." He said that about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that He came into the world to die for sinners, of whom I am the chief. If I had a thought one above another this morning, it would simply be this: Jesus still loves sinners. Jesus still loves sinners. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me. 9th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, the 9th chapter and the 51st verse. And I'm going to read, if you'll bear with me for just a minute. "And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face." Those messengers were certainly probably the disciples. Well, we know James and John were a part of that entourage that went before him. "They went into the village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, and they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, 'Lord, will thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them even as Elijah did or Elias did?' But he turned and rebuked them and said, 'You know not what manner of spirits you are, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them.'" Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, God, as we come to you in the most precious name ever uttered by lips, that be in the name of Jesus. God, when I read the scripture and it says that you didn't come to destroy our lives, but to save us, God, I'm so thankful this morning that I'm counted among the saved. I'm so glad, Jesus, that you loved sinners then and you still love sinners now. God, where would we be if you didn't love sinners? And Paul said he was a chief. God, I beg to differ. I feel like that I'm the chief of sinners. And though, God, I'm not worthy of thy great salvation, I'm so glad that it's not about my worthiness, but by faith I believed unto the saving of my soul. God, I'm so glad that it's by faith, Lord, that we're saved through the grace of God. And Father, I pray this morning, Lord, if there's somebody here that's lost and undone, Father, let them know you love sinners. God, help us as a church understand you love sinners, that it's not your will for the fire to come yet and to burn the world down, but your will is to see men, women, boys, and girls saved by your grace and through the sacrifice Jesus made on Calvary. God, where I can, I know you can this morning. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And Father, I pray for a little time. God, speak to your church. Encourage them in the most holy faith. And it's in Christ's name we ask. Amen. And amen. As we read this scripture before you're here, and I think it's important to look at the whole chapter, the 9th chapter of the Gospel of the book of Luke. We see in the first part of the chapter, he commissions the disciples to go out into the highways and into the hedges and to heal them that are sick, to cause the blind to see, to cast out evil spirits. And we know the story. They go out and they come back marveling in that even the devils are subject unto them. And remember what he told them. He said, marvel not that the devils are subject unto you. Yea, rather that your name is written down in heaven. And this morning, it doesn't matter what we rise to or how much God uses us or how good we think we are. We're still just sinners saved by the grace of God. But having said that, I'm glad I'm saved this morning. Now, I believe these disciples, they got to feeling a little too big for their britches. Anybody know that saying? Used to, my mom would say, and my daddy would say, when we would get out of line and a little disrespectful, they'd say, boy, you're getting a little too big for your britches. And I'm looking around and I'm seeing some smiles on some mama and daddy's faces. Maybe you got a son or a daughter that's a little too big for their britches. Let me say this, that pride always goes before the fall. When we think we're something, we're really not. That if there's any glory to be given, it's to be given to God and on the behalf of Christ and what he's done and what he's doing. Let me say that I love the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, but I don't glory in the church. I glory in the cross. I don't glory in my calling. I don't glory in this denomination. My glory and glory alone is in the cross of Calvary. It's not about what we do. It's about what Christ has already done. It's not about what we accomplish. It's about what God can do even in the midst of us. And I want to say this to your Silver City Church. I still believe that God is working in the midst of us. I believe there's men and women and boys and girls that'll go out of this church and make a difference in the communities that surround us. And when he does and God uses us, let us always give him the glory. They got a little big for their britches. Well, listen, right after that, they come back and, of course, they have that discussion. And right after that, Jesus sees a crowd. The Bible said he saw them as sheep having no shepherd. And they begin to preach to them and heal them of their diseases. And it got to be late in the day, and they began to be hungered. And the disciples said, Master, we've got to send them away. It's about dinner time. They got to go get something to eat. And Jesus said, no, listen, you're going to give them that. Aren't you glad to know that God still uses a church, that God can use you and I to feed the soul of a hungry sinner, to change the world that is around us. Listen, all they had, he said, go and find out, inquire what anybody has to eat. They found 5 loaves and a few fishes. But out of that 5 loaves and a few fishes, God fed 5,000 men, and that's not even including the women and the children. And they learned something real quick, that when God directs your service, little is much when God is in it. Aren't you glad to know this morning that little is much when God is in it? We may feel little. We may feel like the work we're called to is little. But if God's in it, little is much when God's in the midst of it. And people look at our little old church and they say, well, there are a handful or a few that go there. Let me say this. I believe this with all my heart. Little is much when God is in it. They may say about your life. Let me say that. I look at Liz and Kina and Jen and some of these others, Dawn, that are nurses and in the medical profession. And some of you are teachers. Some of you are influencers of young people. And you got young folks all around you. Let me say this. God uses people, and I'm glad that God uses these little women and in the house of God. Listen, men, we got a lot to live up to. You realize God is using some of these little old ladies? Do you realize the influence they have? Oh, listen, it might be the man's hand that rules the world, but it's a woman's hand that rocks a cradle, and she really is the one who helps drive this thing. Let me say this to my ladies. Thank you for your service to God. Thank you for the difference you make in the people around you. You may not hear it very often. I want you to hear it this morning. Thank God for the women in the house of God. If you run them out, shut the doors, I'm going to go with them. Sometimes we feel so insignificant, but God is using so many of you ladies to do great things, and I just want to admonish you, tell you how much I love you for that this morning. All right, so they feed the 5,000, pick up 12 baskets of fragments. You know, what a great miracle. They go a little ways and Jesus asked them, said, now who do men say that I am? And of course they answered and said, well, some say you're Elijah, one of the prophets. Then he gets personal and says, who do you say that I am? And old Peter speaks up and says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So they've been commissioned, they've been used, they've got some revelation. That's not the end of it though. You're going to find out Peter, James, and John go up on the mountaintop of the Mount of Transfiguration. They fall asleep and wake up, and when they wake up out of their slumber, they see Jesus transfigured. One gospel said his face did outshine the sun. They saw his glory, and Moses and Elijah were there with him on that mountaintop. Is there anybody in the house of God that's had some mountaintop experience? Anybody in the house of God, you've seen a little glory, you felt a little glory? Thank God every now and then we get on the mountaintop and we see Jesus as he really is. Old Peter said, let's build 3 tabernacles, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for Jesus. And God spoke in a cloud and said, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. I want to tell you, the law and the prophets met on the Mount of Transfiguration. I want to tell you, grace is what came down. Oh, I'm telling you, we're not under the law or the laws of the prophets. We're under the grace of God, and thank God for grace this morning. So they've had some wonderful experiences with Jesus. If you really want to know somebody, spend some time with them. If you really want to know somebody, go and eat dinner with them. You know what the greatest, I guess, accusation the Pharisees had against Jesus was? Now listen to this. This ought to make you shout. They said, this man eats and goes home with people that are sinners. He receives sinners. Your master, they told the disciples, he eats and drinks with sinners. Jesus perceived their thoughts one day. He said, you know what? He said, it's not the well that need a physician. It's the sick. I've not come for any other reason than to call sinners to repentance. I want you to know Jesus loves sinners. See, that might not mean much to you if you ain't ever been saved. Remember what it was like when you got lost. You remember what it was like when you were a sinner and you needed to be saved. You remember what it was like to have that lost feeling and being outside of the grace and the will of Almighty God. You remember how awful that felt. I want to tell you this morning, if you've never been saved, God still loves sinners. In that state, God didn't leave me hanging in that state. God didn't leave me lost in that state. He sent me a message. He sent me some evidence. The Spirit of God convicted me, drew me to a place of prayer, and God saved my soul. Now the world's wanting to know, does God still love us? There are people around you wanting to know, does God still love me? I want you to know God loved you and I enough to send his son Jesus to die on Calvary, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but receive everlasting life. God loves sinners. Now if you take this message as an excuse to go out and live any way you want to live, you're wrong. If you take this message as an excuse to go out and live loose and not to love and live for Christ, I'm telling you, you don't understand what I'm saying. See, the very evidence of your salvation is there is a change that is so dramatic in your life, you want to live for Him. So they have these great experiences. And Jesus says, now boys, see, they've not had any real rejection yet. I said, boys, I want some of you to run on up to Samaria and tell them I'm a coming and to make ready for us to come. Well, everything else has worked out perfect, hadn't it? I mean, my goodness, they were in most of them were in the ship the night that, or the afternoon whenever Jesus was asleep and he rose and he calmed the sea. I mean, they've been there and they've seen all this. So they go into Samaria and they're expecting the doors to open wide. They're expecting people to say, come on in. Yeah, we'll receive you. Come on in and eat with us. And they go in and they say, now we got to make ready. The Lord's coming. And they are rejected. Oh, I'm so glad it got quiet. I got a hold of the Lord. This is the right message. We're all good and we're happy serving the Lord until we get rejected. And then when we get rejected, we get angry. Let me say, that don't just happen. That don't just happen in our service for the Lord. That happens in our relationships, even with each other. So I can love you as long as you love me back. But the very moment that I love you and you reject me, I'm going to turn on you. I'm going to get bitter and angry about it. Let me say this. The Lord knows what it's like to be rejected. I'm going to let you in on something, young folks. I love you with all of my heart. Sooner or later in life, somebody's going to reject you. That's an inconvenient truth, isn't it? Somewhere in life, somebody going to do something or say something to hurt you. The question is, how do you handle that rejection? How do you handle that hurt? Do you turn bitter? The first thing they did was they said, well, Lord, they've rejected you. They've rejected us. Let's just call fire down from heaven and burn them all up. We're living in a day and an age where if the church is not careful, our love's going to grow cold. And instead of desiring to see mercy and salvation, we'll desire to see judgment. When you would rather see somebody judged than somebody saved, your heart is wrong. You say, well, what about all this unrighteousness? What about all that's going on in our land? Oh, it bothers me too. I get angry too. I get upset too. But God is a good and faithful judge. I can handle a lot of things, but it's hard for me to handle rejection when I feel like I've got something on my heart and it's right, but nobody wants to hear what I have to say. Or I've got an opposing view with a brother and he don't agree with me. Sometimes it's all right just to disagree. Let me say that again. Sometimes it's all right to just disagree. I'm going to tell you something. Sweetheart, we don't always agree, do we? Now, she's always right. And I'll pay for that later. Listen, I've had some experience with that one. We've been through some fires together. we've been through some suffering together. And at my worst, she still loved me. See, I tell you what I found out over about, God, I got to get this right, 28. Yeah, like y'all don't have trouble remembering how long it's been. And right, honey, you've just been married a year. It's easy now, Tizy. It's easy now. We've been through some battles together, and I know at my worst, she will not leave me. Won't you hear me? Some of you brothers and sisters, you've been through some battles. You've been through some tough times together in the house of God. But I'm going to tell you what those tough times have revealed. That you two will not leave each other. When adversity comes, you find out who your friends are. You find out who your brothers are. When you're walking in the valley, you'll find out who really loves you. There's people that are so full of indignation. They say, oh, I'm full of righteous indignation. I'm going to tell you, you ain't righteous. But through the blood of Christ, none of us, listen, let's go ahead and nail this thing to the wall. None of us have the ability to have righteous indignation. It's self-righteous is what it is. See, the truth of the matter is, you got stuff in your closet, and I've got stuff in my closet, and we're still sinners. Thank God we're saved by grace. And I don't know about you, He's still working on me. Don't give me the right to go around and sin and excuse what I do. That don't give me the right to hurt people and say, it's all right, go, oh, I'm a Christian. No, it's not all right. But what it does mean, as long as I'm in this carnal body, I'm going to fight with a carnal man, and sometimes I'm going to lose. And yes, your pastor said it, sometimes I sin. But here's what's so beautiful. He don't leave me. He don't quit me. He don't give up on me. And if you're trying to serve the Lord and you're still dealing with some sin in your life, honey, just keep on walking. We won't be perfected until we leave this world. Fire. Can we call fire to come down from heaven? Do you ever say, Lord, I just wish this would end. Be honest. Let me ask you this. If the Lord was to return in glory right now, the trump of God sounded and the dead in Christ rose and we who remain were changed, what about those who've not been saved? Say, I want to see the Lord. I want this to be over. I'm tired of hurting. I'm tired of seeing people that I love suffer. Yeah, I'm tired of seeing all this garbage that's going on around us. But I'm going to tell you something. There is a greater cause than my hurt. There's a greater cause than the sin in the world. It's to see lost folks saved. Jesus loves sinners. I'm so afraid if we're not careful in the church, we put ourselves out to be something we're not. The best we'll ever be are sinners saved by grace. Jesus loves sinners. Think about all the different stories. And I know you're going, oh gosh, Russell, how many of them you gonna tell? How about this? I'll be really quick, okay? Woman at the well. Fourth chapter of the Gospel of John, I must needs. He didn't happen to Samaria. It wasn't just happenstance. I must needs. He went to Samaria, and I'll submit to you, he was looking for her. He knew she would be there. You know how I know that? Because when he got there and he found her, he knew her life. Go and call thy husband, Lord. I have none. No, you've had five, and the one you're with now is not your husband. You well said. And then she got spiritual with him, didn't she? Well, the Jews say to go to Jerusalem and worship. Our fathers say to worship in the mount. Jesus said, it's not about any of that stuff. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He seeketh such to worship him. God don't care whether you're a Baptist. God cares whether or not you're saved. Having said that, though, I believe the Baptist church is pretty close, as close as any to getting it right, and I thank God that's where he's called me to serve. How about that? Yeah. Oh, everybody smiles, maybe. All right. They took a woman caught in a very act of adultery. Bring a chapter of the Gospel of John. Throw her. Ain't it something? It's always women they're picking on. These Pharisees and limp spine, linguine spine, cowards. They wouldn't go to the man and bring the man. No, they had to get to Lord. Let me say this. If you're not man enough to stand up for a woman, are you really a man? I don't know where that come from. God give us women in our lives to love and to cherish. Listen, their help meets to us, mean you hear me, and it's up to us to love them and encourage them. And as you were talking about that beautiful flower in that park that was blooming, mean if you love your wives, that's what you'll have, a beautiful flower. But if you've trampled her under your feet, you'll have a flower that's been trampled. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, men, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Wives, see that you reverence your husbands. That's what the Word of God says. It's through her, right at his feet. Our law says such a one should be stoned, Lord. What say ye? He knelt down as though he heard him not and began to, you realize this self-righteous garbage, God don't hear it. You pray out of your self-righteous heart, God don't hear it. It's as though he never heard them. It's as though you're not even speaking. When you pray through a judgmental heart and say, God, I thank you, I'm not like they are. Let me tell you why you ain't like they are. Somewhere, God's grace got in your life. It ain't you, it's God. What were we? Think about it. What has God saved us out of? We ain't always been perfect. I ain't always been a preacher. But as a 12-year-old boy, I got saved, and there's never been a time since that I hadn't been saved. Our law says such one should be stoned. What say ye? He drew in the ground, done it a second time. He said, all right. He who was without sin. You know what? So many people come even to the house of God with rocks in their hands. Let me say that if you're here and all you do is beat up on the church, you need to turn loose of your rock and look at yourself. If all you can do is beat up on a brother or a sister or talk about how bad they are or what they need and you don't have the ability to look in the mirror, turn loose your rod and look at yourself. And there are people all through time have done their best to beat the life out of the church. They come into the doors with stones in their hand. They come into the church with an angry, bitter heart. I'm telling you, it's time to let that stuff go. Listen, turn loose of the little rocks and get on the big rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the rock of ages. All you could hear was a sound. You know what? Whenever I really get condemned, and I say condemned, convicted by the Lord, convict is the right word, not condemn. Have you ever heard the groaning of a repentant sinner? I tell you, you listen to me sometimes, you get to hear that. It sounds something like this. You ever done that? This is to me. When we turn loose of our rocks and we drop our stones, that's the only sound you'll hear, because all of us got stuff in our closets. All of us have got stuff in our lives that God is working on. Here's what I want you to know. Listen, if you won't beat me up, I won't beat you up. And if you beat me up, I ain't gonna beat you up anyway. Why don't we just realize we're the same? All of us have weaknesses. All of us have strengths. And why don't we just pray for one another and love one another and grow with one another? And one day, after a while, when we see Jesus, He'll say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Woman, where are thine accusers? Lord, I have none. Listen, neither do I accuse thee. Jesus loves sinners. Now go and sin no more. Does that mean she was perfect from that day on? Absolutely not. Does that mean she didn't? You know what it meant? There was such a change come into her life, and the love of God came into her life, and now she had a desire to serve the Lord. Stand to your feet this morning. You believe Jesus loves sinners? You don't? Do you believe Jesus loves sinners? How you know that? All right, He says so. That's good. That's a good one to... Amen. Yeah. Because He loves me, because He told us in His Word, no greater love hath a man than he lay down his life for his friends. George says, I've had an experience with the Lord. You believe the Lord loves sinners? Have you experienced that in your own life? Now listen, saved person, listen. Since you've been saved, do you still experience that God loves sinners? It's a repentant way, y'all. Where would we be if God didn't love sinners? Be lost and undone. I want you to know, if you've never been saved, God loves you. Jesus died for you. I want you to know, if you've been saved and you're not walking where you ought to walk and you don't have joy in the Lord, God loves backsliders. God loves sinners. God loves those who are making a try at it. God loves you where you're at. But what He requires of you is to be honest about where you're at and commit yourself to Him. And this morning, if God has spoken to your heart and you need to pray, I want to come with a song. Y'all come ahead. Listen, what kind of church, now I'm trying to make eye contact with all of you, what kind of church, it's taking me a little while, what kind of church do you want to have? Do you want a church that wants to call fire down from heaven and burn up the world and lost and undone sinners in it? Or do you want a hospital for the souls of men and women, boys and girls, a church that loves unto the uttermost, regardless? Now, I don't know how you feel about it, but I believe Silver City is the latter. I believe she's a church that'll love regardless. Oh, if you need to pray, go ahead. I'm sorry. What you got?